You're listening to Red Nation Online.
CANADA. Tell me, what's a Douglas fir?
Welcome to another episode of the Royal Westminster Podcast, where I'm speaking with Gavin Day of the Canadian Press and Red Nation Online. Gavin is continuing his coverage of the Canadian men's national team World Cup qualifying as he's in St. Lucia for their third match of the second round. We go over the team's training session, players to watch, and as always, the unique circumstances of competing in CONCACAF. We hope you enjoy the podcast. So you're back from training, Gavin, and I was going to ask a question along these lines, along the lines of the intangibles of playing in CONCACAF later on. But I think we should lead off with this because it was a bit of a peculiar day in training. What can you tell us about today's session?
I think they wanted to get as much of a sort of real game situation as they could. Unfortunately, there were no goals. So what they did, they could only put two mini goals together and have one keeper, you know, take shots while the other was behind the goal, sort of getting shots at, by head goalkeeping coach Paul Dolan. The story was that the goals that they had for the last game against St. Kitts last month, the posts weren't up to the FIFA designated width, and there actually someone was welding them as we were there somewhere on the island. So hopefully by tomorrow they'll be in place.
And now that we've kind of gone over that little bit, what can you tell us just about actually the training session itself, and you know, how you took in the overall mood and energy of the team?
They seem to be in good spirits. I mean, it was, Stephen Hart, head coach, didn't seem too bothered that they couldn't get some target practice in. He did say they would have liked to get some shots on, but, you know, it's the nature of the beast in CONCACAF. But they seem to be in good spirits. They got the feel for the pitch, which has some dodgy, I mean, it's mostly pretty good. I mean, it's a good flat pitch, obviously, for cricket. But there's some differences in what's underneath the surface. But other than that, they really had no complaints. They seem to be in good spirits. And, I mean, considering they were playing in the heat of the day, they started at 11 in the morning, they seem to be doing quite well.
And last month in Puerto Rico, you singled out Ian Hume as someone who was training with noticeable determination and intensity. Was there anyone that stood out in today's session?
I mean, not so much. I mean, it was lucky than the last time I saw them, since they have had the camp in Florida, I think, to establish themselves. But I think if I'm going to go out on a limb with a guy who might have a bit of something to prove, is apart from the two young defenders who will likely step in for Andre Haino and Kevin McKenna, you know, Olivier Ossian is a guy who's been scoring on a regular basis in the German second Bundesliga. And he, he's a guy who wants to, one of those guys who wants to lock down a regular spot in the team. And, you know, against one of these weaker opponents, I think, you know, he might be given a shot. And if so, he'll want to score, you know, maybe one, maybe two with the weaker opponent. But he might be someone who's got something to prove.
I think I'd be remiss because they've gotten a lot of press over the last week in terms of the national team, to get your initial impressions of Ashton Morgan and Joseph De Chiara. What were your thoughts on them today?
They speaking to both of them, they're very happy to be in camp. Ashton Morgan, I sort of asked him, you know, the other passports, he could also play for the other country, or thanks to his parents, could play for the other countries. But he said there was never any concern. It was always going to be Canada. There might have been some confusion with other reports, but his mind was made up a long time ago. De Chiara seems to be, I mean, he's 19 years old, but he seems to have a great head on his shoulders, whether it's the discipline that he gets playing in Russia he seems to be a very bright kid. He understands what his role is in the team, and it's his job to try to carve himself a place in the team. But I was very impressed with the mentality that he has coming into the squad.
So were you surprised at all to hear that, you know, these two young guys who have never been called up to the team before were called up at this point in qualifying?
Not so much. I mean, St. Kitts is still the team that will likely challenge Canada. I mean, even with some different parts in different places, St. St. Lucia shouldn't pose much to this Canadian squad that they've assembled. I think Ashton Morgan is someone who's earned himself a place in the squad with his solid play for TFC, being one of the bit of late. Dick Chiara, I think, always was going to be a surprise, considering he's never played for Canada at a youth level. He was very much an unknown. So the fact that Stephen Art was able to find him and then bring him in was always going to be a surprise, regardless of who it is. But I think if there was ever a time to get some of these younger guys in, it is still against the likes of St. Lucia, who is one of the weaker teams in the group, or he is the weakest team in the group.
I think the biggest question mark heading into this game, or these two games, circle around the loss of the three defenders, McKenna, Haino, and Klukowski. Were you seeing who might be taking in their roles in this game, and who do you anticipate we'll see get the start tomorrow?
I think we'll see. We'll see the return of Nick Ledgerwood, likely at right back. I mean, he got himself that spot during the Gold Cup, and I think performed quite admirably, given he hasn't had too much experience with the Canadian team. Stephen always does keep his lineup close to his chest. He doesn't reveal much, but it seemed a strange tandem of David Edgar and Adam Strait at center back during some of the scrimmaging. I don't know whether or not we'll see them, but I know both of those guys just have experience on the outer sides of the defensive line, but I think these are the sort of guys who will play wherever they're given the opportunity. And if that's the case, where we do see them in the center of the park or center of the defensive line, they're going to go in at full steam and see what they can do there.
It's a bit of an awkward set of matches in the sense that Canada's in the middle of the six qualifying games against two teams that they've already beaten. Are you seeing any different approach or message from Stephen Hart to either not let the team slack off in their intensity and also improve on their first results?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk to the players and to any of the coaching staff, they keep saying that Stephen Hart and assistant coach Tony Fonseca have been talking to them of the importance of concentration and keeping their heads in it, not looking past this opposition. They're taking the game, and rightfully so. That being said, it is going to be tough at any time to play against these sorts of opponents, because it's easy to slump down to their level, but they're having it drilled into their head, the importance of concentration, and for all the chances the Canada created, have sort of converted as many as they would have liked to, given the amount of sort of clear cut scoring chances they've had. So I think they even want to see more of an output to knock in a few more of those chances that they've already been creating.
And you've already talked a little bit about the interesting events at the stadium, and you did write an article describing Beausejour Stadium, but I was kind of thinking maybe you could put it into perspective, comparing it to the game in terms of like the weather and the pitch and the stadium in Puerto Rico, sort of to give supporters a sense of what the difference is, or what exactly the environment is like there in St. Lucia.
Yeah, I mean, when we were in Puerto Rico, the stadium was quite a bit away from the water, and it was just this muggy, it's hot, it's humid, but it was just sort of stale air in San Juan, and it just sort of dragged you down, even when you're walking outside or when you were playing. There was just no sort of breeze. Here you can get, it's close enough to the water that you can get a good steady breeze kicked up, and it makes it actually quite nice, when you're out there. But when that breeze dies down, today we were in the heat of the day, so the heat was beating down. But just recently, you wander outside and it doesn't feel too bad. It's actually quite comfortable. So, if that breeze keeps up off the water, then it's going to be, quite a bit easier to play against, than in San Juan, which was, quite frankly, Ian Hume used the word horrendous, and I'd agree with him on that.
And again, I think we all know now that Beausejour Stadium is specific for cricket. Do you think there's any major concerns, whether, what the weather is like tomorrow or anything in terms of the pitch condition?
No, don't think so. I mean, unless maybe, if rain does move through, but I think they actually chose to build that stadium right at the foot of all these hills, the Beausejour Hills, where the stadium gets its name from, because it's one of the driest. I mean, it's very short grass. I mean, it's almost like carpet in some places. If rain does happen there, it'll make things very slick on an already probably a very quick pitch. that, you know, it shouldn't be too much of an issue. And as we saw in Puerto Rico, where Canada scored their goal, sort of, they added two later on in the game where, you know, you think they'd be dragged down from the heat. But, you know, I don't think the conditions will play that much of an issue with the team.
And what about, I'm thinking about general overall energy for the game on the island. Is there a lot of interest in this fixture in St. Lucia?
You know what? I don't think so. I mean, I think Jerry Dobson, Sportsnet, wrote a blog post saying there was one banner hanging across a mountainous road in the middle of on their trip up here. I flew into an airport which was actually inside Castries itself. So it was, I had a very short trip, you know, throughout the city. But, you know, there's not a lot from what I've seen. I mean, I haven't really had much look at the media, but yeah, things have been very quiet. There have been people who you know, sort of really don't know what the qualifier going on.
And I think I want to just wrap this up by kind of finishing off by getting into the match itself. Maybe like, what are the main things that you see that we might need to be concerned about, and some things that you think supporters can be very confident about going into this game?
I mean, I think the youth of the back line, which we're expected to see tomorrow, could be a bit of a concern because you just don't know how they'll handle it. It is a World Cup qualifier, which might be, I don't know if it's a bit daunting for them, but, you know, whether or not they get stuck in the first 10 minutes when both teams are still just sort of getting their legs out there will be interesting. That being said, you know, it's the same old mantra of scoring those chances that they create. And, you know, if they somehow find their scoring boots, then it could be a rather one-sided game, and I think a lot of obviously the Canadian fans would like to see that going into, you know, another round where, assuming they do get into that next round, where they really will have to be clinical with their finishing.
And from everything you're seeing firsthand down there, just in terms of, you know, the weather, the stadium, how Canada's looking in training, how do you see this game playing out?
You know what, it could be similar to San Juan when they played Puerto Rico, where, you know, I don't know how quick of a start they'll want, but it seemed in that Puerto Rico game that they finished well, you know, down in they played for a full 90 minutes, and that's where they created their chances. I think, you know, their fitness from their professional background will play a factor, and I think as the game progresses, St. Lucia might start to lose steam, as we saw in Toronto against them, where Canada sort of capitalized on some later chances. Whether or not Canada does score early as well, just due to the gulf in talent, is another matter. And if Canada can put, you know, those two sort of halves together where they just outclass St. Lucia in the first half and then combine that with, you know, having much more left in the tank in the second half, then, you know, we could see a very, very lopsided game. But, you know, as we've seen with the Canadian team, you just never, ever know. And, you know, it could be another 2-0, 3-0 game, but it could be, you know, a walk in the park.
And I think the last thing I should finish off on it, because I'm sure everyone is trying to figure out different ways to, you know, get a hold of the progress of this game. Do you have any like inside track on what Canadian supporters or how they can get, you know, get the information for what's going on during the game?
Twitter will be the main thing. I believe the CSA and Sportsnet will both, you know, put a stream up. I'll chime in when I can. I'll be quite busy that night, but I believe, you know, wait for the word, but I think the CSA is putting the wraps on actually getting an audio stream out. So, you know, follow, you know, Twitter with the Canadian Soccer Association stream or me. We'll both put the word out. But former Red Nation writer Max Bell might have the call on this one. But I think they're hammering everything out of getting an audio stream out.
Great. All right. Well, Gavin, thanks a lot for all the information. We all appreciate it. And good luck on the rest of your time down there in St. Lucia.
Thanks. I'll see you when I get back.
We hope you enjoyed the Royal Westminster. If you have any questions, suggestions, anything of that sort, please get in touch with us through email at haveyoursay@rednationonline.ca. And if you want to get in touch with us about anything on the site or any of our other podcasts, Inside the MLS, Eastside Stand Up, Red Nation Interview Series, the best way to get in touch is through email, again, at haveyoursay@rednationonline.ca. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.